Well, again, thank you for having me this morning. It really is a pleasure to come over here and serve you guys in this way. And also, I'm sure Bart appreciates the time on holiday as well. I understand he works quite hard. So yeah, it's good for him to be able to do that as well. Okay, before we get started, let me just pray quickly, and then we'll get into this passage. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it instructs us all. It guides us. It teaches us, admonishes us, rebukes us, challenges us. And Father, we pray that it would change us to be more Christ-like, so that we can give you all the more glory here this morning. We do pray this in your name. Amen. Well, if you hadn't gathered already, this passage is all about local church. That's really what it's about, and about how we relate to each other in local church, and therefore how we relate to people outside in the community. And what can we say about local church? Now, I know that this can be an incredibly divisive subject in Christian circles. I know there are many different strong opinions on how local church should be run and how it should look. So if I manage to get to the end of today's sermon without offending a single one of you, then that will be a first. Maybe I should have just taken the easier option and preached on husbands and wives next week. There you go. Maybe someone with more experience can do that. First, though, a quick word on what we mean by church. And actually, the last song that we sang is really helpful for that. I'm not talking about the broader church. I'm not talking about the church as the world sees it. I'm not talking about the Church of England or the Baptists or any other denomination. I'm talking about what we would call the invisible church or the true church, the church of believers, of people who have given their lives to Christ and are seeking to follow him. So just to clarify that before we get stuck into this. The first point I want to make this morning is that as a church, we should be looking as far as possible to include and not exclude people. I want us to attempt to strip back all of our preconceptions, firstly, about what local church currently is or the way we think it should be. You will think one thing, I'll think another, we'll all disagree on some things. But you know what the fantastic thing is about all of this? There is no set way of doing local church other than the broad guidelines that we're given in Scripture. Look at verse 16 with me. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish, which means to advise, encourage, urge, warn, rebuke, reprimand one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. There is so much freedom within that to embrace our differences. So if you say, we could do church this way, or we could do something this way, yeah, you're not wrong. Not necessarily right either. Doesn't really factor into it necessarily. We should just celebrate that there are different ways of doing things. And as long as we are teaching and admonishing one another with wisdom through the word, with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, well, that's really the guidelines that are laid out here. Do you see how broad that could be? That's fantastic, isn't it? And as long as whatever you're doing, it all comes under verse 17, which says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You're not going to go far wrong if you're doing it in line with those two verses. Let's go back to verse 11 quickly. I know it wasn't in today's reading, but Chris probably touched on it last week. Verse 11 says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So Paul's addressing a multicultural community, a lot like London, a lot like Tolworth. So how would it have gone down in that community, in that church in Colossae, if you had a Scythian who was a very different person to a Greek, saying or asking to include or share something of their style and culture in the daily church service and the running of it, only for the Greek to turn around and say, sorry, it's not the way we do things here. What sort of message does that give to the Scythian? It says that this is a church for Greeks first and Scythians or whatever you are after. We're also told in verse 11 that there are no cultural boundaries anymore, but rather we are all part of the family of Christ is what it's driving at. Now that's not to say that like a family, we won't still have distinct differences and styles. There won't be distinct cultural differences, because there will be. We see that in the church and the world around us today. The way that they're doing church in Africa and Asia this morning is very different to the way we're doing it this morning. Are we right and they wrong? No, it's just different. And all of it's okay. As long as the message of Christ is being preached faithfully and effectively, verse 16, and they are doing it in Jesus' name for God's glory, verse 17. And those differences that we have, we need to learn to embrace and include. We'll all be stronger and better for it. Because the great thing about where we live, as I've already said, is that London is one of the most ethnically diverse places in the world. Which is fantastic because it means our churches have the opportunity to be as diverse and as dynamic as the cultures around us, but only if we learn to include them. The church at Colossae clearly was. It seems from the text that different cultures were all meeting together, and they had to find a way of making it work. They didn't have a Scythian church with a Greek church down the road. Now, I know that today's a little different. There's more of us. There's more churches. But the same principles apply, don't they? You can see that the same principle runs through. As we've said, Tolworth is an ethnically diverse place. How can we ensure that we're including people of all different walks of life? I mean, because let's face it, even within these four walls now, we're all very different to one another. I'm very different to a lot of you. You guys are very different to one another as well. So what happens if someone comes in, they're a true believer in Christ, they want to use the gifts that they've got. Maybe they're a very talented musician. Maybe you get a guy coming up from Kingston Uni. He's really good at rapping, I don't know, anything, hip-hop, something like that. And he wants to be able to use that gift to serve Christ. But it's not really in keeping with how we do things at the minute. It doesn't quite fit with our culture, our style, so on and so forth. What do? Do we stifle them? Because it doesn't quite fit with the normal way of doing things? Or do we seek to include their God-given gifts and encourage them to use those gifts to serve the church and reach out to other areas of the community that maybe we're not tapping into at the minute? Even though that might mean we have to change the way we do things. Yes, is the answer to that one. Absolutely. With all wisdom, yes. We have to figure out where that's appropriate, where it works, how to use it best. But yes, include it. It's like, as an example, if parents have a child who's gifted in some way, maybe maybe they're a very, very gifted artist, but the parents can't see the point in art. Where's it going to get you? It's not going to get you a job. What is the point in doing art? Why don't you do maths and be a banker instead? Well, two things are going to happen there. The child will not flourish as they would have if their gifts were being properly and rightly encouraged, and the family won't be as enriched as they otherwise would have been if they were encouraging one another to develop in whatever way they've been gifted. Likewise with the church, we are all poorer if we do not embrace each other's unique and individual talents and gifts and seek to include them and encourage them, so that we might have an ever deeper and richer and more dynamic way to share the name of Jesus and glorify God's incredible design in this community. Likewise with people, if we exclude different types and groups of people, you've got the same problem. You're excluding opportunities to share the gospel, and you've got to think about that, because not everyone who walks through those doors is going to be the same as you. In fact, you may have some very different people walk through those doors from you, and you've got to think, how you include them and reach them. Just some topics trending at the minute in wider society. How do we help and encourage and include someone with same-sex attraction? Do we exclude them? Do we condemn them and judge them? No, of course we don't. Did Jesus, he went out to sinners to reach out to them, to include them. Now, you've got to think that one through. How do you help that person? How about transgender? That's a growing issue in our society. It's going to become more and more prevalent in the future. As the church, we need to figure out how we reach people and what we do when they want to come in and they're repentant and they want to know Christ. How do we encourage them? How do we include them? They're good things to think about. I don't have the answers. I don't have all the answers. It's on a case-by-case basis. But this says, do it with wisdom. Do it with wisdom. We'll get on to some of the other attributes that we should be applying to those situations in a while. But the same principle applies again. If we're excluding people because they're different to us, or we don't quite know how to handle it, or it's a little bit awkward, maybe a bit taboo, well, you have to ask the question. Is church simply about your personal preference and comfort? Or is it more about seeking to see Jesus' name lifted up in the community around us in whatever way we can possibly do it? If we constantly exclude different gifts, styles, cultures, people that don't quite fit with the norm, then simply what's going to happen is the church stagnates. It will quickly find that it's becoming more and more irrelevant and out of touch with the culture around it. It becomes harder to reach people. It becomes harder to spread the gospel. It becomes harder to include people in the future. So going forwards, what's needed in this is a lot of unity within the church body, actually. A lot of unity rooted in the word. And that's the second point, is unity in the body. We said church is like a family. It's also like a body. Look at verse 15. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Our bodies are made up of many different parts. It's no lie. You can see it. I've got hands. I've got feet. My hands are not my feet. My feet are not my hands. They both are better off with each other. If I lose a foot, it's frustrating. Yeah, exactly. I'm getting a big nod. If I lose a hand, my feet can take me somewhere. I've only got one hand to use when I get there. If you prick your finger, your whole body feels the pain. If you stub your toe, you're really struggling not to turn the air blue because you know how much that hurts. For our bodies to function as well as they possibly can, it's helpful to have all of the body parts in working order, isn't it? Sure, we can find ways around it if not, but it is easier if they're all working, isn't it? So how much more should this be the case with the church? Because it's not just any old body. It's the physical body of Christ on earth. Ephesians 1, 22-23 says, and God placed all things under his, Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. It's brilliant. Everything in every way. All people can be reached. Absolutely brilliant. So Jesus is the head and church is the body. Therefore, if someone is saved by Jesus and is now a part of that body, we need to celebrate that body part, don't we? Of course we do. We can't just chop it off and exclude it because it doesn't quite fit with the rest of the body. No, that's not how it works. And wouldn't it be brilliant if we could display all of the gifts and the people that God has given to the church to glorify his name and show the world around us what a special and amazing place and family the church is? If we're going to do that, we're going to need unity. We're going to need the whole body working together in perfect unity. And in a world where everyone has their own ideas, how do we even begin to go about this? Well, again, we get a clear message in this scripture from this. We are to strive to be as Christ-like as we can be. Verses 12 to 14 really highlight a list of attributes that are so helpful in this. The first one you see is compassion. Have compassion on those less fortunate than you and those in need. help them, reach out to them in any way you can. Just from looking at some of the slides at the beginning of the service, as we were sitting here waiting, I can see that that's going on. That's fantastic. It gives opportunities to reach out to people, to share the good news gospel with them. Jesus reached out to people like this. He had compassion on people. He looked out and saw that people were like sheep without a shepherd, and he took pity on them. Well, that's what we should look out and see in the world around us. People who are like sheep without a shepherd, lost and in need of someone to have compassion on them. Kindness. Don't be harsh with people. Treat them kindly. They will be better disposed, believe me, they will be better disposed towards you if you treat them kindly and more likely to listen to anything you have to share with them. Very helpful for building relationships, kindness. Very helpful for sharing the gospel. Very good attribute to carry through the church. Humility. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourself. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're on the same level. God sees it all the same. It does not matter what you've done. It does not matter what I've done. God sees it the same. Be humble and do not think of yourself as better than anyone. You'll be better displaced to speak to people and reach out to them. Be gentle with people. Don't trample over them. Jesus could have flattened people many times with the power at his disposal, but instead he held it under perfect control. He was gentle with people because he chose to be. Don't trample people. Be gentle with them. Be patient with people and understand that it takes time for people to come round sometimes and realise things. We've got to be so patient with each other, haven't we? It's annoying. You've got a way of doing things. You think it's the right way. They don't see it that way, even though you know it's the right way. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, oh yeah, you were right in the first place. We have to be patient with one another, don't we? Remember how patient God was with you. For some of us, he's waited a very long time indeed. Years and years, and he's patient with us on a daily basis. Show that patience to other people, please. It's very helpful. And forgiveness. We're obliged. We must forgive people because we've been forgiven for so much more. And at such a great cost. Basically, what all of these things mean is that we are called to love radically. We're called to love one another and the world around us in a way that simply isn't seen anywhere else in the world. Think about it. You don't see this kind of love and this kind of community anywhere else on the planet. You may say families, but they don't really have a choice, do they? And there's still a lot of broken homes out there, isn't there? I know, I came from one. Friendships. It's no secret that we choose our friends because they're like us. We don't generally hang around with other people who aren't like us if we don't have to. So you don't really see this kind of love and inclusion and unity in friendships. Other religions, yeah, some of them have a good go at it, but ultimately you have to become something. So if you're going to be a Muslim convert, well, firstly, you'll only be a second-rate Muslim convert. You'll never be fully included. And you have to go back to being a 7th century Muslim in some way or other. It won't celebrate your differences, and none of them are really showing love. Not real love. It's a shallow kind of love acted out only because they're trying to garnish the favour of their God. Not because their God loved them first. We love because God loved us first. Not because we're trying to gain his favour by doing anything good or showing that we love other people. You see, church should be the most attractive thing in the world to people. People should look at church and they should see something truly incredible. It's the body of Christ. Our pastor, Pete, he often tells this story when he's talking about what church is. He was door knocking and he gets into this conversation with a guy. And the guy, he's an atheist and he's saying, look, I won't believe because you can't show me God. At which point Pete turned around and said, yeah, I can. He was like, what? You can show me God? Yep. Really? Yep, I can show you God. He's like, I don't believe you. So Pete said, come to our church on Sunday. Spend the whole day with us. Come to the church lunch afterwards. Come to the evening service. Come and see what we do on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, throughout the week. And you tell me that God's not at work in that, because you won't find that anywhere else. The church is a unique and special place, and we should be celebrating it and sharing that with the world boldly. A world in desperate need. And finally, I only need one or two minutes more of your time to close. The final point is, let the message do its work on you and those around us. Verse 16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. If we ever stop listening to the Bible being preached faithfully, and if we ever stop acting on and shaping our lives on Scripture, then we may as well just shut the doors right now. You've become nothing more than a community centre with no higher purpose. You may as well just rename it Emmanuel Community Centre, if that's the route it's going to go down. I'm not saying it is, by the way. I'm not putting that out there. But you can no longer call it the body of Christ, can you? If it hasn't got his life-giving word, it's a dead body. It's a carcass. It no longer serves the purpose. If you're not preaching every week that Christ died for sinners like us, so that we can be set free from sin and can have eternal life with God, our Father, the only one who truly loves us, then it's all rather pointless. We make a mockery of Jesus. And really, what are we doing? Chester Bennington was the lead singer of a favourite band of mine called Linkin Park. A couple of weeks ago, he committed suicide. Last year, he wrote a song with these lyrics. Who cares if one more light goes out in a sky full of a million stars? Who cares if someone's time runs out? If a moment is all we are? They're heartbreaking words, aren't they? He and so many other people around us, down this street, in the surrounding area, are looking for meaning and answers in life. I wish that he and so many other people could have found or been found by a true church of believers, and that they could have shown him what it is to be a part of the body of Christ. They could have known the fullness and satisfaction of knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. If only he could have glimpsed that. That's the seriousness of the mission of the church on this earth. Eternity and lives are at stake. And so as the church, we need to be including as many people as possible with all the unity we can muster, using everything we have in order to reach as many people as possible as we can with the gospel. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this scripture. Thank you that you have joined this church, Emmanuel Tolworth, together. Father, please help us to never, ever lose sight of our mission, why we're here, what we're doing. Father, we pray that in many different ways, in many different ministries, through many different people, you would be bringing about your kingdom and your word on this earth. And we pray that you would use us here as instruments of that, that we wouldn't be blocking or excluding or obstacles in any way, Father. Please help us all to examine ourselves in this. We don't just do this in church, we do it in our daily lives as well. Please help us to rid ourselves of any judgmentalism we might have, any preconceptions that we might have, any pride that might be in our lives that's becoming an obstacle to this, Father. We just pray that your name would be rightly glorified and lifted up in this area. Amen.